This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hana Baba. On January 1st, it'll be legal for adults 21 and over to possess and purchase recreational marijuana. So you might think that's the end of the story on access, but there's a hidden constituency that will still face barriers: kids who rely on medication made from cannabis. Many parents across the state already use medical cannabis to ease their children's repeated seizures, treat the symptoms of autism, or relieve the pain of cerebral palsy. But cannabis is not allowed on school grounds. KALW education reporter Lee Romney introduces us to one family trying to change that.
Mom, get here.
4-year-old Brooke Adams is taking her morning medicine. Her mom, Jana Adams, squirts it into her mouth with a dropper as Brooke sits on the kitchen counter of their Santa Rosa house. It's a cannabis tincture with a high ratio of CBD, one of the cannabinoids in the marijuana plant that doesn't make you high. Brooke has pale red hair that's pulled into pigtails. She's wearing raspberry-colored eyeglasses, and she loves hugs. She has Dravet syndrome, a rare and severe genetic disorder that causes seizures and developmental delays. She'll live with it for the rest of her life. Adams says Brooke had her first seizure at 3.5 months.
She would have hour-long seizures every time we'd have to call 911 to have her ambulanced to the ER to load her up with all kinds of drugs. Her longest one was 3 hours.
By the time she turned one, Brooke was taking a long list of prescribed medications.
She was put on Keppra, then she was put on phenobarbital, then she was put on Trileptal, and then they put her on Topamax.
Medicines meant to prevent seizures, but Adams says they didn't work for Brooke. Stopping the seizures once they started, that required another drug known as a rescue medication. Whenever they administered it,
she would be intubated because her breathing would slow down so much.
Adams connected with a nationwide community of parents using cannabis to treat their kids' seizures. And a local doctor issued Brooke a medical marijuana card when she was just 15 months old. Now, Brooke takes that daily CBD tincture and a rescue drug made of cannabis oil that's high in THC. That's the best-known cannabinoid in the marijuana plant, the one that does get you high.
It's been life-changing.
Often stopping the seizures within 3 minutes, Adams says. Brooke's doses come in little vials. Wherever she goes, they go.
We have these pre-measured. So this is the THC. And so every seizure, we give her one of these. It's just oil, and you drop it in front of her gums before her teeth.
Brooke takes fewer prescription meds now, and her mom says she has fewer seizures. But the main change is that those long ones, known as status seizures, are really infrequent. That means no more ambulance trips with a breathing tube.
Her last status seizure was last August. But, and before she was every 5 weeks to the day.
Last year, Adams met with her local school district, Rincon Valley Union, to plan for preschool. There's a federal law which mandates that kids receive a free, appropriate public education in the least restrictive environment. That means districts need to make accommodations for kids like Brooke. But just before the summer of 2016, the district told Adams, those vials of THC oil that are always with Brooke, they're not allowed at school.
They said, here's all the things that you could, you know, have, but, well, she can't be on campus, so you'll have to just have her at home.
Homeschooled. But that's not what Adams thought was most appropriate for Brooke.
And I said, no, actually, this is not where she needs to be.
Adams knew the law. If the district couldn't accommodate Brooke, they'd have to find another school that would.
And so then summer came, and I said, you know, she needs to go to private school if you can't have her.
The district got on board. Adams had to call dozens of private preschools to find one that had space and would accept Brooke with her seizures and cannabis meds. The district pays for that placement and a lot of other accommodations.
She has speech therapy, OT therapy, PT therapy, adaptive PE.
But Adams knew the problem wasn't going to go away, and that would be an issue after preschool.
And, I mean, that's why we're pushing to get to Sacramento and get something passed before the fall, because I don't know where her placement will be in the fall if she can't go to public school.
Adams hired a cannabis industry attorney to help her. Because that something is a law, one that would allow Brooke and other kids like her to be in public school with their cannabis meds. The twist? The school district's on board with that, too. This is Kathy Myers, Assistant Superintendent for Student Services for the Rincon Valley Union School District.
When we're looking at the federal law that surrounds and protects children who are identified as children that have special needs, we are required to offer them a free and appropriate public education.
She can't discuss Brooke's case for privacy reasons, so she's speaking hypothetically.
And we feel as though our hands are tied that we can't do that if we can't offer a safe place for a student who needs this as a rescue medication. If we can't provide her that rescue medication, we can't serve her on a public school campus.
Myers says her district had never dealt with this kind of situation before, but now they are, and they're hearing from other districts with similar dilemmas.
This week, I actually had a conference call with somebody from Nevada County, and we were both lamenting, how are we going to work through this?
And another call with the office of local state senator Mike McGuire to see if California can do what a handful of other states have already done. Maine, New Jersey, and Colorado have all changed state law to require school districts to accommodate students who have medical marijuana recommendations. That way, a parent, legal guardian, and in some cases a primary caregiver can administer cannabis medication at school. There's also similar legislation pending in Washington state. In California, state law right now forbids it.
There's California state health codes that limit us, and we can't have those. They're considered a drug, so they cannot be on campus.
And the recent law that governs legal marijuana for adults come January, it explicitly states no cannabis at schools. But that law could be modified. There's another problem, though, says Myers.
And then federal law, which we cannot have drugs, cannabis, anything within 1,000 feet of a school district or school.
They risk losing federal funding if they violate that. But Myers said Maine, New Jersey, and Colorado might offer a roadmap.
We are reaching out to them to find out how are they getting around the federal restrictions.
It turns out they're basically ignoring those restrictions. But here's the thing. By legalizing marijuana, medical or recreational, tons of states already violate federal law. The states that have passed these school district measures are taking a gamble. They don't think the feds will act. Colorado's statute even says school districts can only get out of complying if they reasonably demonstrate that they already did and lost federal funding as a result. Whether California will do the same remains to be seen. For now, the workaround is working for Brooke, with the district paying for her to go to private preschool and providing lots of assistance.
We'll see you later, okay?
What? Don't
have to go to school.
No, don't have to go to school. That's Yolanda Brindis, a one-on-one nurse provided by the district. She gets to the house at 8 a.m. and stays close to Brooke all day.
Let's go.
Mom,
you want to ride the bus?
After some bumps in the road, the district also agreed to send a van to take Brooke to her preschool across town. Adams walks her daughter out.
Here, let's put your sweater on, please.
Brooke wears leg braces for stability.
One, two.
She walks down the stairs to a big greeting from the driver.
Are you ready, Missy?
Thank you.
Morning, Brooke.
You know, I'm not going to smell that, but I'll use it to write.
Brooke and Yolanda get there right in time for speech therapy.
What color is that? What color?
Red.
Good job.
It's a red yo-yo.
Shake.
You put in?
Shake.
Put in?
More.
Look, it's an otter. Put in.
Brooke joins the other kids for circle time. Getting Brooke into preschool has immersed her in a whole world of other kids. It's also allowed her mom, Janet Adams, to go back to work as a real estate broker for the first time since Brooke was diagnosed. But what matters most now for Adams is what comes next.
I mean, my whole goal is to get her to public school by kindergarten. And if I didn't start it last year, I mean, it's already taken this long, and we're closer, but we're still a ways off, and I don't know that we'll have the bills passed in order for her to go to school in time in August.
At what point did you realize, okay, we're going to be the family that gets hopefully gets a bill passed in California?
Pretty much when they said that she couldn't go to school.
Adam's attorney tells me he'll work behind the scenes to help her and her school district move that legislation forward. Colorado's is called Jack's Law. New Jersey's was inspired by a girl named Jenny, and Maine's by young Cindy May, also diagnosed with Dravet syndrome. So maybe, Adam's attorney says, if they're successful in passing legislation that allows students to take their cannabis meds at school, California's should be called Brooks Law. In Santa Rosa, I'm Lee Romney for Cross Currents.